Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring news, music, interviews, and events about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. On this special day of March 4th, 2021, I'm featuring an episode on March 4th to Freedom and Health for All, manifesting a vegan world of egalitarianism, personal sovereignty, respect for bodily autonomy, non-discrimination and non-violence, inclusive compassion. We'll hear snippets of recordings from Hanna Maria in Spain, founder of Dawn of Peace. And we'll also hear from vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia, with public health professional Robin Chuter in Gold Coast, Australia, and Mark Donadue, founder of Veg Vic, World Vegan Day in Melbourne, Australia. Much thanks to these four vegans for sharing their words of wisdom. Let's start out with hearing from Hanna Maria in Spain about what's happening in Spain.
Santiago, we are here marching to protect our medical freedom and inalienable, eternal human rights. We are protesting against the ley de Auschwitz, which is a law to modify the health law here in Galicia, in Santiago. All of Spain has gathered together, all of resistance together in a unified stand for freedom. We are here showing that the power is in us, in the people. None of us are political. None of us are against anybody. We are here to protect our human rights, our rights to be untouched by the state. The new law in Santiago is proposing that the state has the right to remove you from your home against your free will, based on suspicion of being contagious, and medicate you and vaccinate you against your informed and voluntary consent. This is why we are here, marching together in a peaceful way. Here are also Doctors for the Truth, Police for Freedom, Artists for Liberty, Citizens for Freedom. To stand against this law, because it is, in actuality, a barbarity. It is a violation against all human rights declarations ever written. It is against the Nuremberg Code, according to which all medical intervention must be based on voluntary, prior, and informed consent, which is not the case with this law. So please spread the word, stand up for your rights. Lots of love from Galicia.
We just heard from Hanna Maria, a vegan in Spain. And we're listening to the music of Will Tuttle and his spouse Madeline Tuttle. This is from their album Inspiration. It's called Swirling Free. Here's more from Hanna Maria in Spain.
A lot more people are beginning to wake up, I'm telling you, because I see this. We've been here every Sunday since the end of June last year. So I'll show you a little bit the signs we have. So this sign is really significant because, you know, they're portraying that Spain somehow has some kind of urgent pandemic happening and it's one of the red countries and people are just basically dropping dead everywhere on the streets. Well, this couldn't be further from the truth, because the truth is actually that in 2020, 17,000 people less died than in 2019, and 26,000 people less than in 2018. What kind of pandemic is this? Come on, guys. And what is happening? I really wonder about the pandemic on those terraces. People that are sitting in restaurants without a mask. I mean, is the pandemic not there? If literally you're not allowed to walk on the street without a mask, how come you're allowed to take the mask off when you're walking and you're smoking? Is the virus not being spread when you're smoking a cigarette? Or is the virus not being spread when you're sitting outside in a cafe? It's these logical fallacies, these contradictions are what to me make it so absolutely obvious that it's not about health. These measures are not about health, they're about control. So let's see, we have a wonderful group here today. Our group is constantly growing. So here we have some Danish reinforcement. This says, fining people for breathing is anti-constitutional, know your rights. And this is what's happening. People are being fined for breathing, for not wearing a mask. We have flyers that are sharing information about the secondary effects of wearing a mask. You know, what does it actually do to your health when you're constantly, you know, messing with your oxygen flow? What is it doing that you're rebreathing, you know, the bacteria that gets trapped in that mask? And what does it do to your, you know, carbon dioxide levels, and so on and so forth. Patrick is rocking two signs today. Three, okay. It's double-sided. So this one says, the fear and the lies are destroying humanity, our economy, our culture, and our joy. Look around yourself and see what is happening. Where is the music? Where are the festivals? Where are the children? And then this one, which is, anyone can fact check this, Carrie Mullis, who actually invented the PCR test, says that you cannot use it as a diagnostic test to prove that someone is in an active state of infection. This is the guy who actually created the test, and this is what he said. Find out for yourself. This is truth. This is what they're trying to hide from you. And the whole thing is based on this fraudulent test. Let that one sink in. Mostly we get really positive responses from people, I gotta tell you. Okay, this is for those who don't understand how to detect a tyranny, okay? Symptoms of tyranny, let's talk about that, yeah? Increased presence of police. Systemic persecution of peaceful people. Toques de queda means curfews and restrictions of movement, censorship, and medical violence. Just do a little checklist in the country where you're in and just see if any of those things are happening. If you have more than two things happening, I would pretty much guarantee you you're looking at a dictatorship manifesting. Here, this one is really integral to understand as well. It says, nobody has the right to impose or enforce a medical intervention on you, including the police. Not a mask, not a test, and not a vaccine. Nobody in the world has that authority. Why is that? Because we are all equal in our rights. And you look at the manufacturer's inserts, what they claim that this injection is supposed to do, none of them promise that it will prevent you getting infected or that it will prevent you infecting anybody else. It's completely experimental in its nature. It's actually gene technology. It's not even legally, you can't even legally call it a vaccine, these RNA injections. So it's a human experiment that is being coerced and mandated onto people. This is Nazism. This is why they wrote the Nuremberg Code. And this is what this sign is saying. It says forced masks, tests and vaccines are medical violence. Yeah? Same way like a forced lobotomy, forced abortion, forced sterilization, forced euthanasia would also constitute as medical violence or medical murder or medical rape. Nobody has the right to touch you against your free will. This is why, in the Nuremberg Code, they've established that all medical interventions must be based on prior, free, and informed consent. Okay, if you don't know what the vaccine does, you absolutely have the right to ask more about it from your doctor. Ask about the ingredients, ask about the action, ask what are the risks. Remember, all pharmaceutical products always have risks involved. So you have the right to know what are those risks. And death is something that these guys, in their manufacturer's inserts, they disguise under 32 different little abbreviations. So you need to be aware, what are those abbreviations that are being used to say death as a possible side effect? We need to keep asking questions. And the last one here is about the Police of Freedom. And I've got great news for you guys. This movement is actually spreading. I've been directing and coordinating this movement internationally. And now we have a chapter opening in the UK, in Sweden, in the Netherlands, in Australia, and soon also in the United States. Police are starting to stand alongside us. They are starting to see that they are the people's police. They don't want to harass and terrorize peaceful people who are just walking around and breathing, who want to go to church, who want to open their business up. It's a dictatorship. And sooner or later, all these uniformed people are gonna wake up to the reality and refuse to mandate these immoral and inhumane rules. So much love to all of you guys. I thank you for all the amazing support I receive, for all the messages. If you have something urgent that you want to get in touch with me, please email me at henna@dawnofpeace.org. I'm not able to keep track of all my Facebook messages, so if you're trying to get a hold of me there, please email me. I send you so much love, courage, faith, and strength. Hasta luego!
Veganism is a movement about freedom and ahimsa, non-harmfulness, non-violence. In deep veganism philosophy, we understand the quantum theory of intertwined consciousness. As we sow, we reap. What we put out comes back. What goes around comes around. As such, as long as humanity, a global humanity, continues to choose to participate in and support the enslavement, exploitation, and harm to those who don't look like us, then humanity will eventually experience those same vibrations of experience as we see what's happening in 2021. The dis-ease and the suffering and the loss of freedoms. The good news is we can change it. We can help to co-create a vegan paradigm on this planet. When we extend freedom to others, that freedom will boomerang back to us. Veganism. Let's reach the tipping point as soon as possible on this planet. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. And now let's hear from a vegan psychologist in Sydney, Australia. Her webinar series with Mark Donadue, founder of World Vegan Day, Melbourne, Australia, and their guest Robin Chuter, a public health professional in Gold Coast, Australia. This is a snippet from their webinar series, What Else Don't We Know? Webinar number 11. Please visit veganpsychologist.com to hear the full webinar.
Welcome to the next in our webinars, Second Stage Dystopia, What Else Don't We Know? I'm Claire Mann, vegan psychologist, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Donadue. Mark is the president of VegVic Victoria in Australia, but he's also the founder of World Vegan Day Australia, one of the largest vegan festivals in the world. Today, we're going to be focusing on the important questions we all need to ask and continue to ask around the issues surrounding us over the last 12 months. Now, I just want you to think back to when you first became vegan. And when you're telling people you became vegan, it's almost impossible to imagine that there was a time when you didn't know. You say, how is it possible that what is happening to animals, our environment, our health, is literally hidden in plain sight? And then we try to tell people and we get all these typical arguments. The government would never allow it. Well, if it was so obvious that we should be eating this diet, why isn't everybody doing it? It can't be a conspiracy, surely. And we hear all these arguments, and those sort of phrases are resonating with some of the challenges we're facing and have been in the last 12 months. There's a lot of questions we are being asked around COVID-19, the health, conspiracies, censorship, all these sort of issues. And vegans need to be empowered to invite people to look further, because no one has the answer of what is actually going on. But with a certain amount of research, we can start to realize that what we are told is definitely, it's only one part of the picture. And by doing our own research, we're going to be more empowered to ensure we hold on to our freedoms of speech, thought, and movement. And then, of course, with that, we can create a vegan world. And as when talking about veganism, if we have some facts and figures to hand, and in a nutshell, we can explain that to people, our conversations are more powerful. And then we move from, say, values or opinion only, and some of the criticisms we receive for that, to actually getting people to think, a sort of chink in the armour, so to speak. There's also going to be some good communication skills we need to have, of course, and we'll revisit this at the end. So we're going to take the typical questions and go into detail about how we can succinctly answer them, and then invite people to look a little bit further.
What time is it?
It's Mangor time.
Hi folks, this is Chuck Demers. Please tune us in on Tuesday mornings on the Jukebox, time from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. I, along with Rose, will play the best songs we know. We call the show Mango Time. Something sweet, juicy, and good for you. Okay, we're at WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM and WCUW.org.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at WCUW.org.
Airing weekdays from 1 until 2 p.m.
Welcome back from the break, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We're continuing with our Freedom and Health special, featuring Second Stage Vestopia, What Else Don't We Know? By vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia, and her co-host, Mark Donadue, in Melbourne, Australia. This is a snippet of their webinar number 11. Please visit veganpsychologist.com for the full webinar. And here's Claire Mann introducing their guest, Robin Tutor.
Now, Robin Tutor, of course, is a vegan. And I'm going to read out her bio for those of you who don't actually realize she has a long list of information here that has well equipped her to be talking about health, particularly public health. She holds a master's in that area. So Robin is a university qualified health practitioner with a Bachelor of Health Science and the Dean's Medal for Outstanding Academic Achievement from the University of New England, a Bachelor in Health Science with honours, and first class from Edith Cowan University. She is also the Australasian Society of Lifestyle Medicine Certified Lifestyle Medical Practitioner and proud to be a fellow of the Australasian Society of Lifestyle Medicine. I actually got that out. It was quite a long mouthful, that one. But she also is trained as a counsellor, which positions her well when having the conversations that matter. She holds a graduate diploma in counselling from the Australian College of Applied Psychology and a Level 3 Emotional Freedom Technique Practitioner Training and Matrix Reimprinting Practitioner Accreditations. So I think all of us today come with experience and qualifications along a diverse area and encourage people to do the research and have the conversations that matter. Okay, so now we've got a bit of a background on vaccines. A question we're hearing a lot is, it'd be great when we get the vaccine, we can just go back to normal. Life will be as it was before. Is that the case, Robin?
No, it's absolutely not the case. And again, we're hearing from the likes of Anthony Fauci and the World Health Organization that because of this lack of accurate information about whether, in fact, these COVID-19 vaccines do prevent transmission, that people who are vaccinated are still going to need to wear masks. They're still going to need to socially distance. I would also like to point out that the products that have so far been released onto the market, the Pfizer, the Moderna, the AstraZeneca ones, they're not due to complete their phase 3 clinical trials until 2023. So anyone receiving any of these products now is taking this vaccine that has not yet completed a phase 3 trial, okay? So the information that has been released so far has not even been on what are called primary outcome measures. Those data are due to be released later this year by all the companies. Primary outcome data relate to basically reducing minor symptoms. That's all they're measuring. So the secondary outcome data include studying whether there is a reduction in severe cases, hospitalization and death, as well as interruption of transmission. Those data will not be available for another 2 years. Those who are taking this vaccine under emergency use authorizations basically have zero protection. In Australia, we have no statutory scheme to compensate, to financially compensate people who have been vaccine injured. People in the US who are receiving this vaccine will not be eligible for compensation under the standard compensation scheme in Australia. So you won't be able to sue the drug company if you suffer a vaccine injury and require medical care or are unable to work. Instead, you will have to sue the government to try to get compensation.
And we know how long that would take if indeed anything happened there. So, Mark, you talked earlier about compartmentalising in organisations and the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing, so to speak, and everyone just putting their head down and getting on with it. So what's happening with the media? Why aren't they as objective as we expect them to be, investigative journalists, and why aren't they being as forthright?
Okay, well, I'll just show you one final slide, which explains how and why the media is doing what they're doing. Now, have a look at this. This shows UK public believe coronavirus death toll 100 times higher than it really is. Now, that is really staggering. So they believe that 100 times more people are dying than what is really the case. So the question is, who benefits from this? And the simple answer is the people in positions of power, the governments, they benefit enormously. And they want us to believe something that isn't so. Now, the media is implicit in this, because if you have a look at who owns the media, they're often the same players that are introducing this agenda. Often pharmaceutical companies are big stakeholders in media, and people involved in giving money to the World Health Organization and Gavi, people like Bill Gates, are also, you know, one of the biggest financiers of the Guardian, for example. So the media is very implicit. You know that the Rockefellers were asked, I think it was about 1906, why are you buying, you know, the New York Times and Washington Post? You know, do you have an interest in sharing news to people? Do you like to inform people? And they said, no, it enables us to get our message across to the people more effectively that way when we control the media. And so that's what you're actually seeing. So the media is implicit in this. And there are, you know, that there was a book written, I think, in the 1980s, where it said that something like about 100 companies control all the world's media. And at the time, they said, "Gee, that's alarmist. It's the conspiracy theorist." And now it's about 5 major corporations that own most of the world's media, and it's actually becomes more centralized than ever before. And so, yes, the media are absolutely complicit in this, and they work hand in hand with governments. I remember a number of years ago when John Howard basically asked the ABC to sack a lot of its more renegade journalists that weren't reporting the government's message as accurately as they would have liked. So that was really the death knell for the ABC at that point, you know, in terms of them being independent. And then we saw what happened with, you know, with all these children in custody with the Aboriginal issue, that they later, that there was a huge a video that was done by John Pilcher that exposed the Australian media as lying to the public about what was going on, just so that they could implement all of these policies that they wanted to introduce. Now, we see this all the time, where media are working hand in hand with the governments and with big corporations, and it's something that we have to be really wary of. And what's really disturbing is when people say, oh, what you've said is not true, because I just saw the media. I just saw Channel 7. I just saw Channel 9. I just read the Herald Sun, or I read The Age, and they said something different. So that means that you what you're saying can't be true, as though they're a beacon of truth, as though they never lie to people. And people just need to understand that they are continually lying. So, yes, that they are heavily involved in this whole process. And without them, this couldn't occur.
Now, looking at, loss of freedoms and not getting the full picture, I'm living in Australia, and certainly we've got this app come out and this contact tracing. Should we be concerned about an app, or is it perfectly safe and responsible to be being part of that program?
Okay, so there's two parts of this question. First of all, are we being irresponsible by not giving our details away? Well, we've just looked at the previous lots of data that Robin presented, and even some of the graphs I just showed just now, which shows that all of these cases aren't really translating to any excess mortality at all. So there has to be a really good reason for them to want to track you. And so far, the reason that they've given us because of COVID-19 isn't a valid one. So what possible reason can they have to want to track us that is so important? Now, once you allow people to start tracking you and remove all of your privacy and have the ability to then even do things that they're implementing or wanting to implement, like removing the currency, for example, make everyone dependent on a cashless society, then the powers that be can then decide to cut your funds if they think that you're being irresponsible. Or someone that's not following the policies that they want, then they can cut your funds. They're already saying that they're doing that, for example, with people that are not accepting the vaccine. They were doing that, the no jab, no pay policy, people that were getting, say, child payments, for example, or unemployment benefits, they have that threatened to not comply, and then you don't get those financial benefits. If they track you, then it's going to be even easier for them to implement these things. Now, a good illustration of this is shown on a particular a quote that I'm going to share with you now, and this is from Catherine Austin Fitz, who's the publisher of the Solari Report. And this is what she says about this. You're basically talking about being able to digitally identify and track people in connection with their financial transactions, because this is the next step of this, especially because they're now starting to ban the cash currency, because they're saying that can spread COVID. And so it's a world of zero privacy. But more importantly, if you then institute one or more central bank cryptos, you're now talking about a system where every central bank in the world can shut you off individually from transacting if they don't like the way you're behaving. Many people are familiar with the social credit system in China. It's very similar. If you install a smart grid into their car, the community, and now literally in their body, you have a 24/7 surveillance. And if people don't do what you say and behave the way you want, you can shut off their money. You have spatial control. If you say people cannot travel for more than 5 miles, which is what they introduced in Melbourne, that was exactly, was 5 kilometers actually, that's it, because they're in total digital control system. And then they were even penalizing people. They were looking at their phones and they're saying, hang on a second, I've checked how many hours you've been walking. You've walked for an hour and 1 minute instead of 1 hour. You should be fined. And that's the problem with this sort of tracking. And then it says here, so the system comes with control, not only of your ability to transact financially, but also a very sophisticated mind control through the media and those cloud connections. So transhumanism and technocracy go hand in hand, and I would describe this as a slavery system. We're talking about shifting of freedom, where we have freedom to roam and say what we want, to a complete control system 24/7.
What I would say is, remember, as a vegan, remember that it took courage for you to look behind the veil. If you, like me, like Claire, like Mark, like most people we know, were raised eating animal products, wearing leather shoes, using products that had maybe been tested on animals or contained animal products or whatever, and you had just been going along your whole life never questioning this, remember the courage that it took you to start questioning the necessity, the moral rectitude. If you have already showed enough courage to investigate the way that, as 21st century humans, we use and abuse animals, and you've already shown the moral courage to opt out of that use and abuse to the fullest extent possible, you already have what it takes to look behind this veil, the veil of COVID-19. You've already got that strength, so use it wisely.
Thank you. So thank you to all of us, and thank you to people listening. Your job now is to take this, become more proficient in conversations, and to share the information so that together we can change this picture and move towards the vegan world we desire. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. Much thanks to Hannah Maria in Spain, and also much thanks to Claire Mann, Robin Tutor, Mark Donadue in Australia. We just heard a shortened edited clip of webinar number 11, Second Stage Vestopia, What Else Don't We Know? Let's go out with Swirling Free. by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.